Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And we have a lot of news behind the news today. Fairly incredible news day, actually. A lot going on in the world and a lot you want to know about. But with everything spiraling around us, all of the things I'm going to be talking about, and just the raw intentionality of evil that is being exposed right now across the country, across the world. Don't let that weigh you down. Remember, our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't just pray. We need to move to action. And people have been asking me, Matt, all this stuff's happening. Look, we need to be knowledgeable about what's happening internationally and nationally, but we need to focus our action locally. We need to make sure that our family, our friends, our business, our church is ready for anything that's coming, and that we're ready to love our neighbors in a tangible way. We're ready to help people in a crisis. And I'm going to start with a new segment here at the end of the news portion of this, talking about preparedness. Now, I did this a few years ago, but there's a lot of people asking me now, well, what do I do? Where do I start? So every show, I'm going to just mention a little bit about what you can do to start and to be prepared and to become a self-reliant, freedom-loving American again. Because it really is going to be us at the local level. There is so much going on right now. It'll make your head swim. Know about it, but it doesn't change the calculus of what we're doing locally, what we need to be doing locally. And that is continuing to expand freedom and prepare for the worst. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst and be ready to help our neighbors in a crisis. Because I think many of you listening right now have that kind of feeling. There's kind of a heavy weight right now, especially over this election time. So I want to make this a regular part of the show. And if you have questions on any of that stuff, always, always feel free to email me or message me on Facebook. It might take me a day or so to get back to you because of the massive volume that I receive. But it's going to take all of us together. And it's going to take all of us together at the local level to do this. And as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And the good way, the Lord's way, always begins at the local level. It does, just with the personal relationships that we have. And that's why it's so important. Which brings us now to the international front. And just so much happening, but what I want to do is start in Yemen. So there have been attacks against a U.S. destroyer on several occasions. Finally, the U.S. struck back in a limited capacity. But as you know, the greater context is the Houthis, the Shia, kind of represent Iran as their proxy. And then you have the Saudis, who are leading the opposite side, the Sunni side. And right now, it's almost like a Gulf of Tonkin again with, you know, a boat being fired on like that. And, I look at that kind of thing, and if we're going to go in somewhere, if we're going to be somewhere, then we go in to win, and then we get out. And it seems like we just kind of dance around stuff right now. And we don't follow the Constitution with a declaration of war. We don't follow the Constitution with articles of or letters of mark and reprisal. We don't do any of that stuff anymore. And the founding fathers had the exact same problems we face today. And people always try to dismiss that. And it's just not true. They had the same problems. They had waters that needed to be secured for trade routes. They had attacks from the same area of the world, although it was on the Barbary Coast, in the Mediterranean. So it's not like they didn't know that they had to deal with this in the future. So I just would once again, just please take a look at this situation that's going on over there from the larger context. And remember, when we expect of elected officials is to do their job and follow the Constitution, but also not to be so weak in the response that they're provoking a lot of what's happening around the world. Just a kind of a frustrating thing, and I can't imagine what it's like for the soldiers on the ground there. I mean, my goodness. Anyway, moving on. The WikiLeaks issue. So Julian Assange has been literally putting out a dump of emails almost every day. Massive revelations in those emails confirming that the FBI knew about what Hillary Clinton was doing and clearly had treated her totally different. Government above the law, apparently. Now we have more information coming out from those WikiLeaks that are really interesting, and I'll get to those here in a second, because they impacted the issue with Justice Scalia. But a lot of these WikiLeaks just confirm the corruption of Hillary Clinton. And so surprisingly today, or unsurprisingly, the internet is cut to the Ecuadorian embassy where Julian Assange is. So they're trying to cut off the ability to get this information out. And it's all over Drudge Report right now. Huge, huge story, in my opinion. Huge story. But one of the other parts that's interesting in the WikiLeaks from an international perspective, in my opinion, is that there is speculation that John Kerry maybe demanded the internet be cut. And then, even more interestingly, the WikiLeaks revealed that Hillary Clinton actually wants Obamacare to unravel. And why do we believe that they want it to unravel? It's just what we've been talking about for years. Crush Obamacare and then replace it with a single-payer system. Total socialization. They don't want to go to a free market. But now this is admitted in WikiLeaks. I mean, these dumps of emails are giving you a very rare insight into what is actually happening when the doors are closed and the public isn't paying attention. It's amazing. Also on the international front, ISIS, ideologically, theologically, because again, Islam is a theopolitical construct. It is not just a religion. It's also a political system. ISIS, in their theopolitical construct, in their ideology, believe that the town of Dabiq was going to be, and prophetically was, kind of the center of a great last battle against the, quote, Romans. And they tried to impute that the Romans meant the latest incarnation of that being the United States of America. The battle for Dabiq was supposed to be this gigantic thing for ISIS. ISIS had centralized its entire theme around it. Its magazine was actually called Dabiq. What's interesting, they changed it to Rome. And within 24 hours, the battle for Dabiq was over and ISIS was fleeing, completely shattering this prophetic thing that they had, to the point that they actually had to rename their magazine Rome. Folks, this is the kind of stuff that I actually look at and follow, because it's the conclusive proof that there are certain prophecies out there, quote unquote, that just get shattered by the Lord. These fake prophecies, these false prophets. And here's another example. Also on the international front, the battle for Mosul has started. We have not heard a lot coming out of there yet, but I would expect it to be a similar situation where ISIS is going to flee and try and regroup. Now, there was speculation, the Russians apparently had leaked that the United States had cut some deal with ISIS to allow them to flee into Syria so they could fight the Assad regime. And understand where this is coming from. This is coming from the Russians, okay? So obviously an intent to try to discredit the United States, but very interesting that that was actually put out there. So keeping our eyes on the Middle East, again, a tinderbox over there right now. On the national front, a bombshell coming out by Drudge Report, Hillary's fixer, the person that helped her solve all her problems, break ranks, and a huge story breaks today where it is finally admitted publicly by this person that this fixer literally was given the mission to destroy the victims of sexual abuse at the hands of Bill Clinton, was ordered to bribe reporters to bury the truth, was ordered to ruin Monica Lewinsky, was ordered to hide Hillary Clinton's sleazy affairs, pay hush money to hookers, and also arrange sex trysts for Hillary Clinton with men and women. Now, again, this is all on the Drudge Report. This report has come out right now, and apparently there is one magazine that they got the story. It's a 9-page investigation. Again, this fixer is alleging this coming out, but confirming a lot of what the rumors were behind the scenes. Absolutely. It's worse than you could think. Worse than you can think. And people are actually saying that they're going to support Hillary Clinton. I mean, this is corruption at every level. I mean, absolute moral depravity. If these stories, some of which are corroborated and are going to be corroborated, it sounds like, over the next couple of days, these are corroborated stories, folks. This should seal the deal on your vote. It should. No question about it. That's my opinion. Also on the national front, in another example of government above the law, we just talked about Hillary Clinton, who should be in jail for what she already has been caught on. Well, you have this case a while back where the EPA allowed a massive chemical spill. Okay? This is a massive wastewater spill in Colorado, in the river, mine wastewater, okay? And the federal government is refusing to prosecute that EPA worker who allowed it to happen. Now, if that was any of us, if that was any business, any cattle rancher, any farmer, any logger that did that, not only would they have been prosecuted, they'd probably already be in jail, waiting trial for years on end. And here we have another example of government above the law, where you have this clear violation, person releasing wastewater into a river, and we're not talking just, you know, minor waste. We're talking major wastewater, okay, toxic wastewater into a river, and they refuse to prosecute. Another example of that, brutal, that they're not doing anything. Also on the national front, a person who bragged, one of these activists who bragged about starting the Chicago riot, was actually on Hillary Clinton's payroll. Another bombshell there. But then you have another bombshell from the WikiLeaks. There's an email where Podesta is talking, and this is one of Hillary Clinton's key people, is talking with another person 4 days before Justice Scalia is found dead about Wet Works not being a dirty pool party. Now, for those of you that have not read the book Disinformation by General Mihai Pachipa, you need to read that book, because in that book he describes what Wet Works is. It's a KGB, and he's the highest ranking KGB general to affect the United States. Guy knows what he's talking about. Wet Works, the 13th directorate of the KGB, Wet Works is a euphemism for assassination. And this is in an email 4 days before Scalia's found dead, folks. You got to take a look at it. Just take a look at it for yourself. Google it online, or actually better yet, start page it online or use DuckDuckGo. And take a look at what Wet Works is, and take a look at this email that was released. It's startling, because they intentionally say Wet Works isn't this. It's kind of a joke. So they're acknowledging it has a special meaning in the email. It's amazing. But not to be outdone with that, James O'Keefe coming out now with a series of videos exposing directly the Democrat push for voter fraud. All right? One, the latest one, I posted this up on Facebook. In fact, I'm going to share it on Patriot Radio right now. It is unreal. These people literally were plotting for mass voter fraud and acknowledging how they do it by busing people in. And they don't use a bus. They use people in separate cars into a different state to vote in that state and then leave and go and vote in another place. They actually – they're talking about like as a matter of fact. And – many of us have suspected that that kind of thing has gone on, but just to have this open conversation about it, and Mr. O'Keefe is doing a tremendous job exposing this, showing that not only are they busing people in, but they will intentionally go around and canvass to find houses where people have moved or are no longer there, where they might be actually getting their ballots, so that those ballots can be voted. This is something we have suspected. We've actually found houses in Washington State where you'll have a dozen people or so registered to vote. Okay? But nobody seems to live there when you go and doorbell it. And then they end up voting in that next election. And here is what appears to be confirmation of it direct from their mouths. I mean, these are undercover camera footage. It's just amazing. So check that out as well. And what many people are concerned about, and I am too, that there could be massive voter fraud in this election to skew the numbers again. You know, maybe they just didn't intend to commit a crime, kind of like Hillary Clinton, like the EPA worker. Maybe they didn't attend. They were just talking about it hypothetically, maybe. I don't know. Unreal. Government above the law. Democrat Party apparently trying to be above the law. Also on the national front, the North American Energy Security and Infrastructure Act. Kathy McMorris Rodgers co-sponsored this, and this could be one of the largest land grabs in all of U.S. history. Many people contacting her to reverse her position on that, and I strongly advocate people do that as well. Sometimes things get buried in a bill like this. You don't know what's in there. But there are some pages at least that need to be removed talking about transferring authority, at least practically speaking, over to tribes and over to what would essentially be third parties. And federalizing, again, massive portions of the West. Which brings us on the regional front to the Columbia River Treaty, which is one big thing coming up. Where right now there is a treaty negotiated between the United States and Canada that they want to reopen to include tribes into this so that eventually tribal water will be the Columbia River. In other words, the tribes would own the Columbia River. And for those of you that don't understand tribal law, they are sovereign nations separately. And there are many people who are concerned that that is going to be used where they couldn't regulate some of these water bodies previously through federal legislation. It's going to be used actually as a way to clamp down on water again in the West. And not just water, but development. Because if you control water, control people. Development, expansion, agriculture, finishing the Columbia Basin project. It's amazing what is happening with this stuff. Amazing. And also on the regional front, I want to bring up the fact of the hack of the Fish and Game system. Now, WikiLeaks also, there was an email that came out that conclusively proved now that their intent, Hillary Clinton's intent if she's elected, is to come after guns. One of the very first things she's going to do is come after guns. And we're talking literally about, you know, widespread wholesale bans of particular firearms, etc. I mean, I think we all understand that that's factual, it's real. Well, now you have this hack of the Fish and Game system here. Many of you that are listening got notices in the mail, and I've been talking to several people, and the idea is that This is not like somebody trying to fish to do identity theft or something like that, but it was a foreign intelligence service trying to figure out how many trained people in this state and other states have firearms. They're trained in the use of firearms. And it makes sense from an intelligence perspective that they would try to go after this. And this is one of the problems with databases. When you put all this information in one place, it invites foreign hackers to try and gather intelligence on our people and make a geostrategic assessment of the viability of conflict with the United States. And that's why they do this. Very curious. Also on the regional front, and kind of getting back to the water theme, you have this Hearst ruling from the Washington State Supreme Court. Here it is in simple language. Essentially, they want to make exempt wells, okay, these are permit-exempt wells, illegal. Now, I know that the Spokane Valley commissioners are looking at fighting back against this. And there's going to be some meetings here, and there's a lot of people that want to get involved in this. Just hang on tight. We want to see the different ways that we can fight this at the local level. And believe me, we are going to be fighting this in the state legislature as well. Just another ridiculous ruling from the Washington State Supreme Court on this. And, you know, again, if you control water, you control people. And folks, I want to give you an idea of where they want to go with this. They want to go to metering of wells. And they also want to go where you can't put in any more wells at all. Now, this is despite the fact that the aquifer here in Spokane has not dropped a single inch in 100 years of development. This is also despite the fact that they're not measuring the flow right in the Spokane River, because they measure the river after it goes into the aquifer, but not when the aquifer comes back into the river downstream. So understand that that is what they want to do to control water, and we need to fight back right now. We need to fight back right now. And there's people that have been saying, well, what about water banking? Look at all of that stuff is trying to quantify and put into a specific basket the amount of water out there so they can control it. So understand that that's what's happening. And if you want to get involved, please message me on Facebook, send me an email at Matt, M-A-T-T, at VoteShea.com. And we'll make sure to help you, get plugged in and fight some of these battles. And the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights is doing a great job fighting this. It's a great organization if you don't belong to it. CAPR is going to be on the forefront of this battle. Also on the regional front, coming into the last week of the Malheur trial down there in Oregon. And finally, the federal government admitted, okay, well, first of all, they've outed three confidential informants so far. Mark McConnell, Terry Linnell, John Kilman. And by the way, John Kilman is not his real name. Apparently, it's like Fabio Menaggio. I don't make this stuff up. I'm just reporting it from what I'm getting sent to me, Fabio Menaggio. Anyway, apparently from Switzerland or something, another confidential informant outed in that trial. But the federal government finally had to admit there were 15, folks, I want you to pay attention to this number, 15 paid federal informants at that refuge. I mean, the question becomes, who wasn't? I mean, that's really what the question becomes. And it also becomes something else on this. How can there be a conspiracy against the government when most of the people were actually paid by the government? Legally, I mean, I'd be raising that up. I mean, that right there is reasonable doubt. That right there is reasonable doubt for that jury. Unreal. It's unreal. And so one of the defense counsel said, wait a minute, you got to let us know who those names are, because we want to call them as hostile witness. We want to be able to cross-examine them. And the judge sealed it, would not. You know, talk about not being able to face your accuser. So now we've got secret government agents that can never be faced in court, sneaking around doing this. This isn't, I mean, that's not American. Unbelievable. And going on there in Oregon right now. And apparently the defense has rested. There should be a verdict At least it'll go to the jury this week. So stay tuned for that. But again, 15 paid confidential informants at that refuge. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. And by the way, as a side note, we're spending money on that. I mean, they were paying one lady like $100 a meeting or something to go to the Oath Keeper meetings, and she finally reported there was nothing nefarious going on there. I think it was Terry Linnell that did that. We have terrorist attacks happening at least once every other week here in America. Maybe we could spend our money trying to stop those that are actually killing people? Weird. On the local front, the Socialist Review has once again not endorsed my candidacy. Very proud of that. And I also want to mention that they didn't endorse because they said, quote, I undermine local law enforcement. And yet I got endorsed by local law enforcement. WACOPS, 4,500 deputies and officers throughout Washington State have endorsed my candidacy. So I'll let you decide who's more accurate on that. But interesting, let's talk about endorsements. I've been really quiet about what's been going on and the smears that have been occurring in the paper constantly. And most of it has been already conclusively disproven or shown not only to be untrue, but shown to be just a political attack. You know, they do this every election. And every election, it seems to come out of the sheriff's office. 2012, 2014, and now 2016. And once again, now, Republicans out there have done a great job of keeping things focused on the issue so this isn't a distraction. But I have to really, why is the media not mentioning the fact that it appears that the sheriff has endorsed another Democrat? Has endorsed three in the past already, including a former Playboy playmate, and now is endorsing another Democrat, a person, Candace Mum, who supports a $200 million tax increase with the STA. How come nobody's reporting about this? Now, this is not personal attacks. This is issue-based. I don't want leaders who are going to support $200 million tax increases or candidates that do support $200 million tax increases when we have a good person on the Republican side, Josh Kearns, who's one of the most experienced legislative aides in Olympia right now, who knows what he's talking about on property rights, who's pro-God, pro-life, pro-Constitution, pro-right to bear arms. Folks, people keep asking me, you know, what about this whole thing? Why do I keep bringing stuff up? I'm not bringing anything up. I'm just reacting. That's the whole point of this. And we should be held accountable for our views. And here's yet one more example of that. And speaking of which, there was an anti-Israel agitator arrested for holding up a train. Another associate of the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane, who brought in the Communist Party USA person, Judith LeBlanc, last year, and then brought in the Council of American Islamic Relations this year. And so, I mean, I look at some of this stuff, and, you know, the mainstream media clearly cannot be trusted. And so what we need to do is we just need to go to social media. We need to be sharing among each other the information that we have, and get our information from the source, because clearly they have an agenda out there. They are not bringing any of this stuff up. They're hushing stuff up about Hillary. They're hushing stuff up here locally too. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency in socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for the show. And please make sure that you go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook, like the page, share it with your friends and family, and also, you can email me at matt@voteshea.com, matt@voteshea.com. And thank you to everybody that's been supporting us. We have had a huge influx of donations over the last week and a half based on these attacks. I want to thank everybody. We're close to raising $15,000 here in the last month. Thank you, everyone. and that helps us keep it on the air and to weather these attacks against freedom and liberty and against the truth. Well, it's my pleasure today talking about the truth. I want to talk about, we've been talking about the Second Amendment, and I want to bring a different perspective on this from somebody that actually was born outside of the United States in Ethiopia, who knows about this issue and can give an idea of what freedom means from somebody that actually came here to experience it. So, Salam, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I really appreciate you giving your perspective.
Thank you for having me.
So if you could, tell the listeners a little bit about your background, where you came from, and why you ended up here in the United States of America.
Okay, so yes, I was born in Ethiopia, and I came here, late 1990s, and my dad brought us here, and you know, it's the greatest country, you know, on earth. And now, fast forward, I am, yes, I live here in Spokane Valley specifically, and I'm a small business owner, and I've always been interested in politics, you know, and hopefully we'll get to that in a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, I want to kind of get your take. I mean, a lot of people have been giving their opinion about what's happening at the national level, and it's just kind of been a train wreck, very, very candidly. What's your take about what you're seeing happen at the national level here in the United States during this whole presidential run-up?
You mean Hillary versus Trump? Stuff like that?
Well, yeah, and not just that, but just kind of this whole, it seems like there's just this divisiveness kind of pervading the national level, too.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I want to actually talk to you about, I actually wanted to tell your audience the relation between how government works in Ethiopia versus here in America, and I wanted to talk about, you know, the gun control, the like the media and the divide conquer, stuff like that. And the divisiveness is, I want people to understand that it's been used by dictatorship. It's nothing new, you know. This has been done, you know, in the past. And like the Black Lives Movement, stuff like that, and, you know, me being black, I absolutely don't support it. We know who's funding it, you know, people like George Soros. This stuff is not by accident. And this actually taking away the attention from the main problem, which is a corrupt government not really serving the people. And that's really what they're doing. It's just a bunch of, they create chaos just really to divert the attention. That's really what that is when it comes to the chaos and the divisiveness.
Well, what do you see as kind of, I mean, you have a great perspective. What do you see as kind of the big threats to freedom here in America besides that intentional, you know, divide and conquer?
Oh, Matt. Yes. Okay. So, yes, I was born in Ethiopia, and it's big dictatorship country. So when I came here, like an early part of 2000, believe it or not, Matt, I used to listen to MSNBC. Okay, like Matt. Chris Matthews, stuff like that. So when I didn't understand their message didn't match with the action, right? So I read about the Constitution, and like again, fast forward, fell in love with the Constitution, and the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, third for the whole thing. I understand. And I know why in Ethiopia, you know, they completely took the guns. And here, they're working, you know, this is, I don't want to scare your audience, Matt, but what's going on in America is, in my belief, is a modern dictatorship. You know, in Ethiopia, there's a regime change, they declare martial law, they take the guns, you know, control the media, divide and conquer, all that stuff. But I believe that in America, it's just because tanks are not rolling on the street, it doesn't mean that there is no dictatorship. This is the modern, like the 2016-style modern dictatorship, where they are controlling us by laws, which are absolutely illegal. And this is the new, you know, style. So everything you look at, there's new laws. It's not acceptable.
Well, it clearly isn't, and I know that you come from a part of the world where let's start with just the First Amendment, free speech, freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those things are not. I mean, that's not a right. That's just something that you try to get away with, or you can do when you possibly can. Can you describe for the listeners the difference between, you know, a place like that in the world and the United States, and what that means, especially on the more kind of, I guess, insidious things like political correctness, which kind of try to make us self-censor? What your thoughts are on that?
Oh yeah, in Ethiopia, there's not so much. It's a Christian nation, not so much problem religion. But there is no freedom of speech. One thing I'm bothered by here in America is that you see something, say something. I'm really bothered by that, because in Ethiopia, you can be having conversation in a coffee shop with your friend, and somebody next to you could be easily a spy. In other words, you just never know, you know? So it's not good. I don't support that kind of stuff.
Well, what about the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms? Why is that important? Now, you and I have talked about this. Actually, we met at a mm-hmm. pro-Second Amendment rally.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the listeners about your perspective on that. And, I mean, go into detail about, you know, what you think and what your experience is, and why it is so important to maintain the right to bear arms.
Yes. The Second Amendment has actually become one of my favorite amendments. It used to not be, because I didn't know. So, because, you know, I was raised, guns are not good. Only, like, soldiers or the government should have them. And so, like I said, when I came here, after I read and really educated myself about the importance of gun, I woke up and I said, oh, okay. So what happened was, I actually want to give you an example of what's actually going on right now in Ethiopia. There has been a big fight in Ethiopia. The region area is called Gondar. And so mind you that pretty much all citizens, they don't have guns in Ethiopia. But these are in rural areas that had their guns, okay? And the government came and decided to take certain part of their land. This is how they do over there. they just said, well, yeah, because it was very flourish, you know, rich land. So they said, well, you know what, we're going to take this. So, okay. So, but the government didn't know that those people had guns. So they really, they're fighting right now. So the government actually backed down and they said, well, let's negotiate. And then they gave them time to, hey, you know what, how about you turn in your guns? That's what the government offered. And the people said, nope, we're not going to. So there's actually war in Ethiopia right now that the media is not talking about. It's, yeah. So I know the power of the Second Amendment, and there's a reason why the American government, you know, like Hillary or Obama, they want to take the gun, because once you give up that gun, there is no more freedom. But they're not going to, what I want to stress to your audience, Matt, is they're not going to have tanks rolling down, hey, give up your guns. They're not going to do that. Not yet. But they're going to do, you know, other routes. Maybe, let's say, you know, I've read an article where they visa stopping using for businesses. And I remember the national security, the homeland security guy saying that gun control is, you know, the new security issue. And of course, they have the UN really working hard on the gun control issue. And they're really going about the back door. And I want American people to understand that it's a dictatorship is not going to show up like how it is in Ethiopia. Does that make sense? This is America, you know, land of the free. But the way it's going to show up is not people banging on my door, hey, you need to give up your guns. Not like that. They're working up to that, but they're working slowly by individuals or disarming certain groups. Does that make sense?
It does. And I want to go back a little bit to what actually is happening in Ethiopia for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally had landowners, and then one of the techniques they tried to use was, hey, voluntarily give up your guns. You can trust us. Just voluntarily give them up, and let's see if we can resolve this, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly. They were, hey, you know, let's negotiate this. Hey, let's work this out. And just give up your gun, and everything will be okay. And the people know, because, you know, when you grow up in a dictatorship country, you have the mind where you can sense what's, you know, when the government is playing you or not. So they said, absolutely not. So they're actually fighting over that. And I wanted to tell you, Matt, and when I was, yeah, I came here in 97, but early part of 90s when there was a regime change, okay? And this is really what woke me up when I first, after I came here. So the regime change happened. The current government left, and then there was when the new government came in, they declared martial law. So I'll never forget, I was young, and I remember tanks were rolling on the street, and you could not go out. I mean, everything was shut down. And then they seized the media, and I didn't understand. And I remember I was asking Dad, what's going on? He said, no, even when we were in our house, we had to, like, be quiet. And so they controlled the media, and they said, hey, you have about a week to turn in your guns. And at that time, everybody had guns, including my dad. And, yeah, so I will never forget that day. My dad, of course, he took his rifles and all guns and just went and turned them in. So about that incident, what's going on right now in Gondar, I asked him because, you know, what do you think? Don't you think that the people have a right to be armed, you know? And he said yes, yes, because when he came to this country, he didn't believe in that. So after he saw that, now he changed his mind.
Right, because it's, I mean, this is the practical thing. If government takes away your guns, then they can pretty much do whatever they want to. There is no fighting back, truly.
Right, right. But the thing is, Matt, that you would think that would be, you know, common sense, but it's not, you know, the media has, not only in America, but it's all over the world that guns are bad. This is what they pretty much preach. Guns are bad, only guns are good only in the hands of the government. And so pretty much everybody thinks guns are bad, including the immigrants who come in this country. But not a lot would actually research why is the government keep telling me guns are bad. Like, they never researched that. And
I think it's clear it's part of an agenda, because everywhere in the world that this has happened, it's led to less freedom. Well, Salam, if you can, in the last couple minutes, what message do you have to Americans? And where can they get a hold of you, maybe, if they have questions, they want to hear your story, maybe have you come speak somewhere?
Okay, well, my message is, please, please stop believing the government. I go around, I talk to people, they just trust the government. And I'm just telling people, do not trust the government. And another thing they tell me, oh, it will never happen here. No, 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 that's just over there. It will never happen here. It's happening here already. It's happening. I can't stress it hard enough. It's already happening over here. Don't trust your government. Start voting with your money. In other words, stop supporting like PayPal, you know, who are really against Christians with that North Carolina situation. Just please, and definitely, definitely, I'm hoping people do not vote for Hillary. She absolutely will abolish the Second Amendment. I truly believe that Donald Trump is the real thing. He is for nationalism. He's not into the globalist thing. And if anyone wants to contact me, like I said, go to KerringhamSpokane.com and you can email me, message me on that.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And if you could say that one more time.
It's Caring, Caring Hands Spokane.com.
Yep. CaringHandsSpokane.com.
Yes. I know we don't have a lot of time. I have so much stuff to talk about, but we don't really have enough time.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes or so. If you could, what message do you have also to young people and whatever else is on your heart, too, if you want to share that with the listeners?
Well, I want people to know that I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christian. I'm a constitutionalist. That's what I follow. And when you actually do that, you'll find out a lot of the people, you know, such as people who pretend to be Republican, like John McCain, Karl Rove, stuff like that. It will really help you differentiate.
Yeah.
And I, of course, praise my Lord Jesus Christ for really opening my eyes. I encourage people to pray. If you don't know what's going on, you know, whatever Matt and I were telling you, if you don't understand, just pray, I promise, because I prayed and I got to know the truth. Just pray, and I'm a big believer in fasting, fast. And believe me, the truth will just come to you. And, yeah, that's my message.
Well, amen. I appreciate it. And one more time, if you could put out your contact information for folks.
It's caringhandspoken.com, caringhandspoken.com. I'm speaking more, you know, against what's going on in America because people think it's not happening. So let's, you know, people wake up. Let's really take back the great country as the founding fathers, you know, created. So.
Well, Salam, thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. You're awesome. I want to have you on again and really appreciate what really is a ministry and kind of waking people up to the dangers of losing freedom here in the United States. And with freedom goes the ability to preach the gospel and make disciples unhindered, which is what we really care about, right, as Christians.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, yes. And we know that, you know, Matt, that there is a war on Christianity. I mean, absolutely. You know, that's another topic that we can discuss for, like, hours. And people just need to wake up. And the good thing is it's actually happening. I think Trump is doing that too, you know?
Yeah, he's kind of almost doing it in spite of himself on a couple occasions too.
Yeah,
which is good.
What I want to say to people is I actually became a U.S. citizen here in September. I did it legally. I'm legal U.S. citizen, so I can actually vote and really participate because I just couldn't be watching anymore. And one thing is that I say, the reason I say is Trump is already a winner is really because he exposed the media and how corrupt is the system. Just imagine if Trump was not, if he was not in the picture. Let's just say Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz or any of them. You know, this would not be upfront about Hillary or the whole government situation. I think it's pretty good. So
I do too. Well, God bless you in your ministry, and if there's anything I can ever do to help you, please let me know, and I'd love to have you back on again to share your perspective, especially maybe after the election, too. Just we'll see what happens.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely, Matt.
All right, Salam. Take care, and God bless. And Caring Hands Spokane, I just am posting that up there on the Patriot Radio Facebook page right now, and you can take a look and follow what Salam is doing. And also, you know, get her to come speak. I mean, it's great to hear the different perspectives from people outside this country because that have come here for freedom. And as you heard, she became a U.S. citizen legally, waited the requisite period of time, followed the law, became a U.S. citizen, and has just a great appreciation for freedom. And we need to spread that message around more, I think. We really, really do because it's clear to people with an outside perspective that we're in trouble here in the United States if we continue down the road we're continuing. And that brings us right now to the last part of the show, which I'm going to try again to do this every show, give you an idea of preparedness. Okay, a lot of people have been asking me, what do I do now, Matt? Well, first thing is you got to focus locally. So what does that mean to you? Well, let me give you a couple ideas out there, okay? First, get in shape. If you get a chance, just go walking or maybe even walking with a backpack on. I do that every morning that I can, and it is tremendous. It not only keeping the weight off because I sit around too much, I think, all day long, but also it invigorates you because you can actually remember that, you know, there's this great world out there that the Lord has created, and man – you know, fresh air and freedom instead of iPhones and, you know, burying your nose in it all day long. Just so please, if you get a chance, get out and walk, get in shape. So I call these the four S's. The next S is learn how to shoot. If you haven't gone to an Appleseed training program, which teaches you basic rifle marksmanship, or you haven't gone to like Sharpshooter or Center Target, go to one of those and just take a basic class on how to shoot a pistol or how to shoot a rifle. Learn how to shoot. The next S is learn self-defense. I personally like Krav Maga because I believe it is kind of all-encompassing and very practical in the movements. But you can also learn Taekwondo. Master Young Kim, he has a great series of dojos here in Spokane, and you can talk to him as well and learn self-defense. No victims out there. No victims at all. And then the last S is learn how to be a small group again. You know, in America, we used to have these small groups, families of 10 that used to get together on a regular basis. Find that, you know, tribe, if you will, again, kind of refound that your own tribe again. You know, find your family and friends that you want to spend time with and that are like-minded and that you can meet regularly with and study the Bible and pray together and learn what each other's problems and stuff are and help each other out and maybe go shooting together or learn self-defense together, getting in shape together. And those are ways that we can bond together at the local level as Americans, regardless of anything that happens in the world or anything that happens nationally. That teamwork at that level is the core of freedom. It really is. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Remember to do everything you can to defend freedom locally. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.